the House Committee of Regional Affairs Committee meeting. It's approximately 8:08 on Tuesday, April the 3rd. For the record today, we have Co-Chairman Morgan, Representative Helcro, Representative Scalzi, Representative Petula, Representative Guest, and myself, Representative Meyer. Before the committee today, we have, and also is Representative Murkowski. Items before the committee today is Senate Bill 78, the Municipal Regulations pertaining to radio antennas. This is Senator Taylor's bill. Representing him is Daryl Thomas. Is that correct? Okay. You want to join us, please, Thomas?
To the chair, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Daryl Thomas. I'm representative for Senator Taylor on SB 78. I won't take a lot of your time. We have a gentleman by the name of Dan Squire who also helped put this bill together that I'd like to introduce to you. And if there's any other questions that you might have, he is most tuned to this, so he can help us with it. But I'd be happy to answer any other questions I may.
Hey, is there any questions for Mr. Thomas to start out with? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Squires?
Good morning. My name is Dan Squires. I live here in Juneau. This bill is actually a combination of federal administrative law and case law. In 1985, the federal government, during a time when it was divesting a lot of its responsibilities back to the local governments, in this case said that amateur radio, because of their public service and their innovative technology, should be exempt, and it gave a limited preemption to amateur radio. The FCC said that local governments could regulate, but they had to be very careful about their regulation, and they had to accommodate amateur radio. Because of some confusion of local governments, of people that write planning laws, it ends up being a little bit of a battle about every 5 years when the municipality rewrites their zoning and planning laws. And so we're asking that the legislature put in statute this federal preemption into state statute so that it is closer to the people, closer to the municipalities. We have found in other states that once we get these on the books, then a lot of our problems go away in dealing with the municipalities. I believe when we started this, there were 9 other states that had adopted these laws. There are now 10 other states. So we aren't reinventing the wheel. As many of you may know, amateur radio is a great part of Alaska, of our heritage. In the 1964 earthquake, amateur radio was the only communication out of the state. And amateur radio operators actually helped Governor Egan because that was the only way he was able to find out what was going on up north. And they were shuttling back and forth here in town between the governor's mansion, giving him reports. As smug as we might feel about our telecommunications infrastructure, it's very fragile. We found that in the case of the Oklahoma City bombing, that cell phones and all communications become actually useless. I had a niece in the Oklahoma City bombing. There was no way to call in. Cell phones were useless for over 2 weeks. In Juneau here, we have a case that if there is one line lost, we lose all cell phones in town. So our communication system is quite fragile. We do provide this public service. We save very many lives every year here in Alaska because of our remoteness and our lack of communications infrastructure. And I will be open to any questions that you might have.
Okay. Thank you for the testimony, Mr. Squires. You're with the amateur radio group here in Juneau, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And this legislation is sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. We have worked with our division director, who is a circuit court judge in the state of Oregon, and our local elected section manager in Anchorage. And so this is a radio amateur community effort in getting this bill.
Okay, very good. Any questions for Mr. Squires? Yes, Ms. Representative Curtula.
It's not really a question. It was just to thank Mr. Squires and the group for doing so much work, and we double-checked with the CBJ, and they say that this is basically their practice, and the federal law is pretty clear on, you know, what's preempted. So it looks like it's just trying to put something in place so that you don't have to go through that argument again with someone
else. Yes, this law is actually more conservative. It still allows the municipality to go beyond that. It is more conservative than any of the ordinances in Alaska at the present time. Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau all have more liberal ordinances, and this is a guide for the ordinance saying that you can't go under it.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Squires? Seeing none, we do have some people online who would like to testify. We have two in Anchorage. Larry Petty, are you with us, Larry?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. I'm Larry Kent Petty. I'm an amateur radio operator. I'm the I live in Eagle River, and I am the elected representative for the American Radio Relay League. I'm the section manager in the state, and I've worked with Dan Squires and others on this bill. I wanted to thank Senator Taylor for taking the time to sponsor it. I just wanted to also emphasize that the purpose of the bill is to, or the reason we're asking for this is that we have there are technical requirements that have to be met for us to effectively communicate, whether it be on high-frequency communications or VHF communications. And it's just it's a matter of technical requirements. These heights are necessary to communicate on the frequencies that we use for statewide emergency communications, which we practice on a daily basis, as well as on higher frequencies in the VHF range, for instance, if towers are shortened and we were to have a disaster and power were lost. The commercial sites are typically where they have their antennas and relay stations up on high on mountains. We do have that in certain cases, but amateurs, but we would assume to lose those should an emergency strike. The amateurs in the local areas with the higher towers can effectively get longer range at the VHF and higher frequencies. So I just wanted to state that these are technical requirements and nothing more. And if you have any questions, I'm open to them. Thank you.
Mr. Petty, any questions? Yes, Representative Murkowski.
Mr. Petty, I don't know whether this is a question to you or perhaps to the bill sponsor, but in the subsection B, it states that a municipality may not restrict the number of support structures for an amateur radio antenna. And I was wondering, for instance, in areas like Anchorage where you do have seismic issues, am I reading this correctly, that support structures could be something that you might want to have more support structures in an area like Anchorage where you have earthquake issues, or am I interpreting this incorrectly?
I don't believe that's necessarily the case. For much of our amateur radio communications, there some operators had a number of towers and support structures to support the various communications antennas that they have up. And I think that's what the bill is addressing. As far as seismic conditions and whatnot, this bill in no way would attempt to state that we should not be required to meet uniform building code or safety requirements. I think that would, we could all agree that would be counterproductive.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Helcro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Petty, when one of your operators wants to erect an antenna, do they have to go through an application process, or do they have to go through a full-blown conditional use permit with the zoning board?
Well, sir, thanks for the question. That would be based on municipal requirements. While the FCC says, municipalities, et cetera, must reasonably accommodate, we do have requirements, for instance, in Anchorage. If an antenna structure is going to cost over, I believe, I'm not sure of the amount. I think it's $5,000. But anyway, we basically have to build in accordance with local requirements when it comes to that. Building permits. As far as anything else, though, we're just trying to limit the restrictions on these antenna heights to those as stated.
Well, thank you. And are operators who want to erect an antenna on their property, are they having problems in the municipality of Anchorage getting permits to do this?
Good question. It's not that we've had problems getting permits to erect, it's that we've had to, in Anchorage, for instance, over the last, I believe, 20 years anyway, we've had, and most recently in the last year, we've had to put forth quite an effort to deal with ordinance changes that were being proposed. What happens is when an ordinance is going to be changed, typically they'll group antennas, all antennas into one large mass, and amateur radio antennas get thrown into that, and we have to put forth quite an effort to point out that the FCC has preempted this and explain our case every time. And we're just trying to bring this closer to home rather than to point to what some might view as an obscure federal statute.
And did you get caught up recently? Did your group get caught up recently in the discussion that they had on the local level with cell sites and those antennas that are erected by wireless companies?
I have Mr. Jim Wiley's here who would like to address that question, if I can defer to him.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Wiley, I have you next on the list to testify. Do you want to go ahead and give us your testimony, and then we'll ask any questions after that.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jim Wiley. I live in Anchorage and have for the last 30 years or so. I am the, the chairman of the volunteer examiner group in Alaska. I mean, we are the group that that examines individuals wanting to get a license and determines whether they can do that or not. And the one thing I wanted to clarify, it's been mentioned a couple of times already that the ARRL has been mentioned. That stands for American Radio Relay League, and that is the national amateur radio organization, which has existed since 1915 or thereabouts. Multiple towers and amateur versus commercial towers are kind of two points of the same argument. Amateurs will occasionally erect multiple towers on their property. For example, I have two, simply because of the variety of different frequencies and modes that we are allowed to use, which gives us requirements to have a number of different antennas. So those are support structures for that. Now, as it relates to commercial antenna structures, cell phone and broadcast radio and other things like that, rarely, if ever, do amateur antenna supports end up supporting commercial structures. Occasionally, it's the other way around, in that an amateur antenna will find its way onto a commercial structure, like a broadcast station has a big tower that we might make use of or something. But as a general rule, commercial antennas, such as cell phones and that sort of thing, are not mounted on amateur structures, and in fact, the Anchorage Ordinance specifically states that the reason, one of the things that makes amateur antennas exempt from other regulations in the city of Anchorage is that there will be no commercial antennas mounted on amateur structures unless the amateur structure goes through the same permitting process that they would have to do for an equivalent-sized commercial structure.
Okay. Does that conclude your testimony, Mr. Wiley?
Unless there are some other questions for me, that's probably true. The only thing I would like to mention is that the whole purpose behind this bill is that amateurs spend considerable amounts of time and money getting trained to provide emergency communications, to install the hardware to be able to do this when the need arises. And the purpose of this bill, to my way of thinking, is to guarantee the access to the critical portion of things, that is to say, an effective antenna, so that we will be able to make efficient use of our services, so to speak, when the need arises.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Hellcrow. Was your question answered?
Pretty much. It's fine.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Wiley? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Wiley. Anybody else? Okay. We have no other, no one else has signed up to testify in Anchorage or Juneau. Is there anyone else here in Juneau who wanted to testify? The sponsor, Senator Taylor, is here. Welcome, sir. Sir, did you want to testify?
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
My name is Gary Parker. I'm from Juneau. I'm an amateur radio operator. I'm very much in favor of this. I just want to give an example of the type of things that can happen elsewhere. I moved up here a couple of years ago from Washington. In the community I was in, they were putting in a new cell tower. It was very near the high school. There was a lot of emotion about the fact that there were these radio waves near the high school, and you know, lots of rhetoric went on. And the end result was that the city passed an ordinance saying that no antenna structure could be over 30 feet tall, and they didn't bother to differentiate between amateur radio, commercial, whatever it may be, and that led to severe problems in that there were a lot of towers up. We provided a lot of emergency communications for the local fire department for disaster work, and we also did work for the city, but that just kind of got ignored in the process. By having a law such as this on the books that specifically identifies amateur radio as having to meet, you know, these requirements, being set apart from other types of radio towers, it allows us not to go through that very long process that, you know, many of us work for hundreds of hours on to go back to the city to get the ordinance changed to exempt amateur radio per the federal statutes. So I think that this is a good thing to have on a state book. It's a lot easier when people are doing the zoning and people are writing the requirements for these types of things to be able to go and see the very clearly written state statute that says this rather than some federal guideline or federal law that's, you know, more obscure and they may not be aware of. So that's, you know, I think it would be a good thing to have this. Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you. Okay, Representative Hellcrow.
A question for the sponsor. AML, I don't see anything in here. AML, has they taken a position on this?
Senator Taylor?
Thank you. Senator Robin Taylor, Senate District 8. They have not. As far as I know, there's no opposition. I've had several members of AML in my office, as I'm sure you folks have too, and in fact discussed it with several of them. But as far as I know, no opposition.
Okay. I don't see if there's any other questions for the sponsor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for calling up the bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion, comments, questions? Representative Curtillo.
Well, just one other quick thing, and that is I double-checked against the FAA regulations because it's the only thing I could think of that might be of concern in some small communities, and the bill is more restrictive than what the FAA regulations allow. So I felt pretty assured that the federal law was preemptive at any rate, and that the bill was even under those.
Very good. Any other comments? Not. What would the committee like to do? Representative Hellcrow.
Mr. Chair, I'd move CS for Senate Bill number 78 out of committee with individual recommendations in the attached zero fiscal note.
Any objection? Seeing none, then. Done. Thank you, Senator. Actually, that concludes our business for today. We are going to meet Thursday. The Denali Commission has asked to give us a briefing on energy rural concerns, or rural energy needs, excuse me. And so we will be meeting on Thursday. If there's no other items or discussion or anything to come before the committee, we are adjourned.